This is a Scoop Audio interview. We're talking with writer Nuruddin Farah, who is appearing at the New Zealand Post's Writers and Readers Week. Hi.
Hi.
Now, you were exiled from your homeland in Somalia as a result of your writing, pretty much. Would that be right?
Yes, that would be right.
Yeah. The novel's trilogy, Variations on a Theme of African Dictatorship.
Yes. My going into exile preceded the publication of the trilogy on dictatorship. It more or less coincided with the publication of an earlier novel, my second, in fact, called A Naked Needle, which, being a satirical novel by a young, foolish writer called Nuruddin Farah then, upset the dictatorship of Siad Barre, the man who ruled the country with an iron fist for something like 21 years, and whose downfall led to the civil war, which is still raging in the country.
I was going to ask whether also at the time you felt like it was something in particular that you had said, or if it was just the fact of a satirical writing at all.
Well, I think, my trouble with authority in general, including, patriarchal authority, began earlier even than that, in the sense that I have always linked authority of the male order with the way we run families, with the way, there is a householder who is generally male and in whom authority is invested and from whom instructions are received. And as long as this remains, my theory then, and it still is valid, is that society will remain dictatorial. And if society is dictatorial in the day-to-day manifestations of how families function, then naturally you can't expect democracy to take root in such a society. And I'm not, in fact, specifically speaking only about Somalia and about so-called third world countries. I'm saying that even in New Zealand, even in the most, in inverted commas, democratic countries, society is basically dictatorial, and that the individual has fewer rights. And this is the reason why feminism was born. This is the reason why the civil rights movement was born. And even though one speaks of American democracy, of French republicanism, and so on and so forth, none of these could be said to be true until, the late 60s and early 70s. And this is when a kind of democracy with which we can live today has been given birth. Long-winded, but that's what I think.
I was thinking that if you've got that position where the shape of the family underlies things, then virtually any kind of writing would become political in nature, wouldn't it?
Well, I don't know. I think politics is just a narrative and a way of looking at the world in that same sort of way. The word, like in literature, politics, and even the notion of plot, for example, as a political aspect to it. The king, if you said the king died, then that is not a story. But if you said the king died and because of grief the queen also died, then you have that plot, as Ian Foster always said. So wherever you look at it, when something happens and as a result of it something else happens, that is a story. But when something happens and then something as a result of it happens, and the thing that happens then affects the lives of other people, then that is politics. So you see, you can't get away from it. It's always entwined with stories, narratives, people, how people relate to one another and affect one another's life.
In this Writers and Readers Week, I've just been thinking there are a fair number of people who are coming from different countries or cultures and writing in English. English seems to have a history of that in literature and just as a language. Why have you written so much in English particularly?
Well, first of all, the stories of some of the writers who write in English and who come from different non-English speaking backgrounds, the stories are different. Alexander Hammond's story is different from mine. I'm older than he is and started writing in English at a time when Somali, my mother tongue, had no script.
Right.
Meaning that you couldn't write in Somali even if you wanted to, because there was no script. And I had the luck of knowing how to speak and write in Arabic, which was my second language, learnt at school, and in Amharic, which is my third language, also learnt at school in Ethiopia, because I went to school in Ethiopia, my early years in Ethiopia, and English was my fourth language. Now, the reason why I started writing in English is also because I had much of my instruction, education in English, my intellectual makeup. It was also, well, technologically more convenient, I thought, at that time. I didn't think that I would continue writing in English. I'd hoped that once Somali became a language with a written script, then I would reverse or lapse into writing in Somali, which I did as soon as Somali became a written language in 1972, in October. Then I started writing in Somali and started publishing a novel in March of 1973, barely 5 months after Somali became a written language, and then ran into trouble with the censorship board of the dictatorship. And my name was then banned. I could not publish anything in Somali. Even my name couldn't be published in the newspapers. And then when this became obvious and I couldn't write in Somali because of politics, then I thought, well, how best can one express oneself, write about the things that matter to one's life and the politics of it? If I can't write in Somali, I might as well write in English. And therefore, it was a choice made in Somali. We have an image which has, well, some kind of a proverb that says, even a hunchback in the end learns to live with his discomforts. And so I'm now accustomed to the discomforts of writing in a foreign language. But then I also write occasionally in Italian, and I did write in Arabic, and had hoped to continue writing in all these languages at the same time. But, you know, when you are as long-winded as I am and write trilogies and have too many commitments, traveling as far away from home, Cape Town nowadays, coming to New Zealand and going to Europe all the time and so on and so forth, it becomes very difficult. to find the time to write in so many languages. I can barely cope with writing only in English.
Well, I think we might actually have to leave it there. If people want to hear more, they can look up your appearances at the Writers and Readers Week through this week. So, Nuruddin Farah, thank you for talking to Scoop.
Thank you very much. Thanks.